AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Davis is in on the conversation, our monthly conversation with Jim Minter, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Ag and professor of ag economics at Purdue University. Jim, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Very well, and great to be back on the air with you.
Yep, glad you're here. So, farmer sentiment weakened in March. The Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer fell 8 points to a reading of 117. Was it the current conditions or was it the future expectations that caused the decline?
Well, they both declined about the same amount, so I think they were both down 8 points. So people didn't feel any better about future or current conditions on their farms. In fact, one of the things that's been interesting going back to sometime roughly the middle of last year has been the fact that the current condition index and the future expectation index have been running pretty much in tandem with each other. And historically, that was not the case. Usually we had people maybe a little more optimistic about the future or a little more optimistic about the current situation. Lately, they've been kind of moving together most of the time. And I think that speaks to just the level of uncertainty that people have about where we're headed.
Right. You know what? I'm going to kind of go in backwards order of the questions that you ask, because I love that you bring new topics into the survey on a regular basis. And you included several questions on the renewable energy market. And let's get to some of the highlights there, because there seems, what did you take away from the questions on the renewable energies?
Well, that's a great way to ask it. So, yeah. So much discussion about what's going on with renewable diesel and the potential impact that could have on the ag sector. Yeah. We just wanted to find out what people are thinking about it, right? What was their perspective? And so to start it off, we wanted to have a little bit of a baseline. So we started off by asking, do you think the U.S. ethanol industry is going to be larger, smaller, or about the same 5 years from now? And then we asked the exact same question about renewable diesel, just to get a compare and contrast. And 25% of the people in the survey said they think ethanol is going to continue to grow over the next 5 years. You asked the same question about renewable diesel, and it roughly doubles. It went to 46% think it's going to get bigger. And so people are definitely more optimistic about what's happening in the renewable diesel environment. That message has gotten out pretty clearly. And so then we followed up and said, this went to everybody, whether you thought it was going to increase or not. What impact do you expect renewable diesel to have on soybean prices per bushel in the next 5 years? And roughly 4 out of 10 said they thought it would boost soybean prices by up to about 50 cents a bushel. Yeah. Another not quite 3 out of 10, 28%, said that they thought the increase would be between 50 cents and a dollar a bushel. And then there's a small group of people who think it's going to be over a dollar a bushel. I think it works out to about 21% think it'd be over a dollar a bushel. Yeah. And that's pretty important when you start thinking about people making decisions with respect to buying farm equipment or making investments in land or maybe making some other investments in their farming operations. So this is really just kind of the tip of the iceberg with respect to what's going on in renewable diesel and the impact it could have on agriculture.
Yep. Yeah. And that impact on price has got to have some regional differences, because if you're in an area where there's going to be two crush facilities within 70 miles or whatever, that would raise my expectations a lot on what it means for the market. What are the other half that don't think it's going to, the renewable diesel market is going to grow? What are they missing? I mean, how disruptive is this going to be, Jim?
I don't think you or I know.
Yeah.
So let's be honest about it. You know, so that there's roughly 45% of the people in the survey who said it's going to be no change in the size of the industry going out 5 years, and 9% think it'll shrink. So those are the skeptics, I guess. Yeah. Or maybe they're just not very familiar with what's taken place. And truthfully, this has been new enough that there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, Chip, when I make a presentation in person on this topic and start talking about some of the information that's out there, people really pay attention because they haven't seen that much information about it. And particularly, as you mentioned, the locations of things like crush plants, how many of them are going to be built, where they're going to be built, tremendous amount of interest. And you know, the spillover impacts potentially into the livestock sector could be very large here. Oh. So if you think about it, this is potentially quite disruptive, and it's different than what we experienced with ethanol. And the difference, of course, is the fact that when you process a bushel of corn into ethanol, the bulk of the corn winds up becoming alcohol. You do have a residual in the form of the DDGs, but a much smaller percentage of the product is available as a byproduct. Here in renewable diesel, you crush a bushel of soybeans, you wind up with mostly byproduct and a small amount of soybean oil. And so that potential impact on trade with respect to what we do in terms of exporting soybean meal versus soybeans, what we do with respect to livestock production in particular, I think is really interesting. We're already a low-cost producer of meat in this country. This potentially could make us an even lower-cost producer.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you turn around and you export the meat, value added, and it's a way to maintain soybean exports in an environment when we're using more and more of them domestically. Now, when I read the outlook or the attitudes towards land prices, and there's a little bit of divergence in the short term and long term, does the outlook for renewable diesel and what that might mean for corn and soybean prices going forward, does that have an impact on attitudes about land prices?
Well, that's a great question. We haven't asked that question, but it certainly could. And that might possibly be one reason why people are a little less pessimistic, or maybe more optimistic is a better way to say it, about the long-term outlook for farmland than the short-term. Because the short-term, you know, I don't want to get too negative here. Overall, people are still positive, meaning more people think land value is going to go up in the next 12 months than think it's going to go down. But it's pretty clear looking at our month-by-month tracking of this that people are less optimistic than they were this time last year or this time 2 years ago. And you can really tell that when you look at the raw responses to that 12-month ahead question. This month, one out of five people in the survey said they think farmland prices will be lower a year from now than they are today. If you go back a couple of years, that was down around 5%. So it's still a small percentage, but clearly there's been a change in sentiment there. But as you pointed out, people are a little more optimistic about the longer-term outlook. In fact, the long-term farmland index actually went up 5 points this month. But that's a great question. I need to think about that maybe in a future survey, how we could tie those two together with respect to impact on farmland values with respect to what you think about renewable diesel. That's a great question.
Okay. All right. Let's bring it back to current day. And it looks like interest rates are really starting to bite on farmers' attitudes.
Yeah, you know, and that shows up a couple of different ways. When we ask people about their biggest concerns for their farming operation, we're getting more people starting to say rising interest rates is a concern. You go back to last August, I think only 14% chose interest rates as a top concern. This month, it was up to 25%. When we ask people that think now is a bad time to make large investments in their farming operation, this was the first month that more people chose rising interest rates as a reason why it's a bad time, as opposed to just rising prices for farm machinery and new construction. So clearly interest rates are on people's minds, and looking ahead, I think it's going to be even more on their mind as the year progresses.
Yeah, no question about it. Davis, have you got any questions for Jim?
Well, I would look at that, at the divergence in the farmland values. I mean, this is a significant drop, and the short-term index is its weakest reading since September 2020.
Yeah.
Can we imply that the market is suggesting a top is in, a short-term top?
That's probably a little stronger than I would say, Davis, but
fair enough.
It's certainly getting close to that. I mean, yeah. If you look at that index, it topped out at, we've got at one point, I think, all the way up to not quite 160.
Yeah.
And the current reading is 113. So it's fallen sharply. But again, I want to emphasize, as long as that index is above 100, that means more people think farmland values are going up than think it's going down. But what we've picked up is that that shift in sentiment. So clearly people are less optimistic than they were, a year ago, 2 years ago. They haven't quite gone negative, but it is definitely a difference in opinion with respect to the one-year outlook versus the five-year outlook.
Right.
And, you know, that makes a lot of sense if you think about it. From a long-term perspective, farmland values tend to go up.
Yep.
And so anytime you start stretching the horizon out, you get a more optimistic response. In the short run, what are people worried about? Well, they're worried about commodity prices. They're worried about interest rates. And our people keep telling us that non-farm investor demand is an important component. So to some extent, they're probably worried about what's going on in the general economy and the impact that might have on investor demand.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, the Ag Economy Barometer down 8 points in March from February, a reading of 117. Index of current conditions and the index of future expectations declined 8 points to 126 and 113 respectively. All right, Jim, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thanks, Chip. Thanks, Davis.
You bet. All right, Jim Mintert at Purdue University. We got the Farmer Forum coming up next.